Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Bob Iger talks about the parks, spring break is hitting the parks, but weather is tempering the crowds.
Fireworks are back, nightly Imagineering shows off some cool tech. We finish our talk with Don from the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our unbirthday party. For your safety, please be sure to stay listening with your hands, arms, feet, and ears inside the podcast. And please, do give Peg and Teresa easier trivia questions. Well, it seems DL Weekly is about to begin. Have a most wonderful time. Perhaps tea time.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 15th, 2023. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you to Tiffany C. for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. A special thank you to Tara F., Stephanie M., Mary G., and Sherry H. for your continued support. If you would like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
Well, we just wanted to let everybody know that this Sunday is our public live stream on our YouTube channel. So if you go to youtube.com/DL Weekly, there will be our live stream. Teresa will be gone.
I will be absent from this live stream.
Because she is going on her cruise.
I am. I'll be on my Disney cruise this weekend. If it had decent internet, that is a day at sea for us. So it would have been fun to have, like...
You're not
done it, but there's not, not internet connection. I'm going to be disconnected from the world.
So producer James and I will be hunkering around.
For those of you that can't see us, that was producer James's, that was the first time he had heard about that.
It'll also be our Patreon supporter stream or hangout as well that day. So keep that in mind.
Now let's get to the news.
Bob Iger talked about the company and the parks during a question and answer session at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference this past week. He emphasized that reducing crowds in the parks was important to improving the guest experience. It sounds like part of the process to help with that would be to add new capacity and attractions to serve more guests.
So, right, good news for us parks lovers. We like to hear more focus being on the parks, and especially, you know, trying to figure out ways to make it a more pleasant experience. Because, yeah, unfortunately, things just post-pandemic, I feel like Disneyland specifically, because that's really the only park we've experienced, but just doesn't feel like they've quite gotten their feet under them yet. We do now have something announced for the Hyperion, but really the Hyperion was closed for a very, very long time. And, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem quite like it had been. So I'm glad that we're putting more focus on the parks. I think that a lot of things, little things, would go a long way, because things like cleanliness and just getting lines moving quicker, whether it's attraction or, you know, restaurant type lines, just doing, focusing on fixing those things will make a huge impact. So I'm hoping if they're looking at big things like adding capacity and potentially looking at new attractions, that they're also looking at those little things as well.
Yeah. There's actually a quote here from Bob Iger that I want to read that sounds pretty great. I've always believed that Disney was a brand that needed to be accessible, and I think that in our zeal to grow profits, we may have been a little too aggressive about some of our pricing. I think there's a way to continue to grow our business, but be smarter about how we price so that we maintain the brand value of accessibility, which I think is great.
Yep. I think so, too. So we will see how that shakes out and what that's going to look like.
Spring break season has descended upon the resort. This year, it has been very interesting to see the crowds because of the on-again, off-again weather changes. On the nice weather days, the park feels like they're back to the pre-pandemic levels. Then, just a day later, with the rain, the parks are deserted. Waits on the rainy days were, for the most part, under 30 minutes, and that's including Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
One thing that I'm really excited about is the fact that obviously rainy days impact this, but just in general, the fact that it seems like a good people eater attraction, because even when stuff, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's like hours and hours and hours of wait. But yeah, I was just lamenting to Teresa that I wish we could go right now, because seeing some of these pictures of rainy days at Disneyland
beautiful.
That are like the park's like empty. I'm like, I would love, and Food and Wine Fest mm-hmm. still going on, but there's like no lines for the booths and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, that'd be such a great time. Go grab a little bit of food, go find a covered space, eat, enjoy some of the indoor attractions. Mm-hmm. Would be amazing. I am jealous of people that get to go. I understand that a lot of people in Southern California, you know, almost seem like they're made out of sugar or something. Like it starts to rain and they're like, oh,
well, you know what though? But if you're local, why not? Because you could just, I mean, it's easy for them to go back the next weekend or, you know, the next month or, you know, whatever, versus us who it's like, well, we get to only go less than a handful of times a year. So when we're here, we're here. Whether the weather's great or not. And that sometimes works to our favor. But then we've also had some pretty hot and humid, which is weird.
Yeah.
Days that I would, if I was local, I'd be like, you know what? That air conditioning sounds much better than this right now. I'm thinking, I'm looking at you, July 2021.
Right. I would much rather be cold and rainy than hot and humid because you could always take stuff off. You could only, you can always put more stuff on. You can only take so much off. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's the right way. Yeah, yes. That's it.
Strike that, reverse it, right? Well, this is a very exciting story for me. Nightly fireworks have returned to the resort for the higher crowds and spring break. Usually, the fireworks are only part of the show from Friday through Sunday. Now they're performed every night, which is wonderful. Which is a wonderful way to see wondrous journeys.
Yeah, this is exciting because this kind of ties in with it being spring break season. So if you're wondering why suddenly the fireworks are nightly and not just on the weekends, it's because of the spring break crowds and that kind of uptick or increase in attendance. But yeah, I think that's great. I mean, we can't say too much since we haven't gotten to see it and experience it yet in person. But, right, the show was built to be awesome as a projection-only show, but also be enhanced and be amazing with the fireworks. So why not have, like, the A++ version every night?
Totally. The other thing we didn't mention in our news was the fact that because of the weather, Disneyland did have another day of an early closure. I think they closed at 11 instead of midnight. So, I mean, again, even if you're there during that day, though, I don't think you'd be complaining too hard because you probably were able to get on everything. But I'm also excited that we get the expanded entertainment for this time.
I am so excited for this next
news
thing. So excited. And I feel like if you don't go talking, I'm going to go talking about this. Anyways, without further ado, Walt Disney Imagineers were at it again, showing off some of the new technology that they have been working on at a Disney Parks presentation at the South by Southwest convention. Some of the eye-catching things included a life-size, quote, air quotes there, so life-size Tinkerbell, so tiny. And in addition, they demoed a small dynamic robot that could bring Judy Hopps to life, along with showing off the Hulk character that was in Avengers Campus back in September.
So I saw this video of this Judy Hopps dynamic robot and I was like, this is so cool.
I had to pick my jaw like up off the floor. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Which video did you see?
I saw the one where it was like coming at
See the one where it crawled out of the box?
No, I didn't.
The one that the draw was just we will find these videos and put the links in our show notes, but the video, the one that just like had me just like amazed, was this little robot crawled out of, it looked like a shipping container, like those big wooden boxes.
Okay.
Crawled out of the box and like flopped onto the floor, and then they were like, she did a somersault at one point, and it was amazing. So lifelike. The people that worked on this robot also worked on the Spider-Man stuntronic.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely. The other thing I thought was really interesting with this is if you look at the face and like the arms, I know this is kind of off topic. I just got loaned a 3D printer. They're 3D printing a lot of this stuff, which is really cool.
Remember, we were noticing that at the expo. I think it was with the
Hulk arms
or the exoskeleton. I can't remember what the actual term is. It's not Hulk arms, but yeah. So you already missed. She already crawled out of the box. That's how they presented her.
Yeah, but the fact that there's not like a huge set of batteries or anything with it. No. It's not cabled. She's able to like roll over and stand up. I do like she has like rollerblades up on shoulder. These guys are having way too much fun.
Do you know
with
what
this.
I thought? You're going to laugh at me. As soon as I watched this, I'm like, why didn't they do this at the parks panel at D23?
Because we've asked that question
with everything
that's come out since then.
They're just amazing.
As time goes on here, we're going to have some really, really cool stuff.
So just to be clear, we're calling this the Judy Hopps robot.
Because
solely because it very much resembles and looks like Judy Hopps. It's got, looks like rabbit ears. The face looks like Judy. However, Disney has not specifically said that, yes, this is indeed, in fact, Judy Hopps. But that's what we're calling her for now. Because if I was a betting person, I would bet money. Amazing. But the Tinkerbell thing's really cool, too, because it's a live actress that somehow through the magic of Disney, they make look like she's shrunk down and is Tinkerbell sized, and she's in her lantern, but she's able to interact and talk with
guests.
So
this technology, you know what this technology is? This technology is the same technology that they use in Rise of the Resistance when Rey shows up as the...
Because you
could see here that there's like a...
Yeah. But still...
No, it's definitely cool. I'll have to watch this whole thing later because that's really cool.
And then the one thing that I didn't watch this part because Hulk wasn't as exciting to me, but they did announce that Hulk will be meeting and greeting in Disneyland Paris.
You hear that, James? Next. We might be able to go see the Hulk in Disneyland Paris. Because we didn't get to see him in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. He was only in Disneyland for a brief time in our Avengers campus.
Maybe they'll have made some improvements, remember? Because we noticed some things that we thought could be improved.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't notice any of those things in the video, but maybe. Dang.
Well, the rest of Toontown opens this weekend, but another smaller part of the land has opened. Imagineer Souvenirs, which I thought that was the name of the toys. Was it the toys shop in California Adventure? So it seems Imagineer was part of the name. I just keep thinking of that. Has opened as the attached gift shop to Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. The new shop is very themed to trains, including a train that travels around the store above guests' heads. The shop carries a lot of Toontown and Runaway Railway attraction merchandise.
So we kind of speculated because, remember, they got rid of the only Toontown gift shop when they made way for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So we kind of speculated and we thought that you'd be exiting through the gift shop. Well, now 100% certainty, yes, you do exit through the gift shop when you leave Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. This store, though, is so adorably themed. I love, like you said, that there's a train and it's moving. There's a train actually going around the top, like up above you. But if you look on the floor, it looks like those wooden tracks that when you're a kid, clink together so you could push your little train.
Tank engine
kind
tracks.
Of, yeah. There was another brand that we had, not Tinker Toys, but anyways, something like that. But we didn't have the Thomas the Tank Engine one. We had whatever the other one was. But I just love the attention to detail. I like the costuming that they have for the workers that are in this location, even the little like set pieces and all the little details. It's very well themed, very well done. I could see myself just hanging out in this store to look at the theming and enjoy theming.
Yeah, they did a really great job, really enjoy what this kind of looks like. It looks like, I don't know, I just kind of like all of it. It's very fun and playful. The lighting is really great. I will say I saw something posted online, and I just don't understand what's going on. So when Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway opened, there was a couple news stories of like things in the queue getting like damaged by guests. Well, there was already like some stuff getting peeled off the walls in this room. I'm like, what is wrong with people?
Yeah, it's one of those things that I wonder, you know, did these things always happen and people are just now choosing to, like, is this just things we're reporting on now but have always been happening, or is this something new and people haven't been? I feel like this is going to sound bad, but I feel like things like this have been happening and just maybe don't always get reported on. Remember the sporks? Moment of silence for the sporks in Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, people stealing the sporks.
We had these really cool sporks in Galaxy's Edge at Docking Bay 7. However, they grew legs and now we no longer have sporks in Galaxy's Edge. So it just makes me sad that things like this, I mean, it's open to the public. You've got tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of people going through. So something is bound to happen, but it still just makes me sad.
It is sad. I don't know. I just feel like there's a rash of this stuff. And it's like, people, be nice to the new land. Just enjoy the space.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is this Friday, and of course, Disneyland has some treats to help celebrate. Guests can pick up some shamrock-shaped Rice Krispie Treats, green stuff at the Red Rose Tavern, a cupcake and a donut at the Craftsman Grill over at the Grand Californian Hotel, and a cocktail at the Hearthstone Lounge through March 19th. Downtown Disney also has an assortment of options for the holiday.
So, you know, any type of excuse for Disneyland to put out yummy treats and variety of things, they're going to do that now. You know, stuff like the green stuff, which is the gray stuff in green.
But if I were there, that's at the top of my list. Like if I was going to be at the
green stuff.
Yep. If I was going to be at the parks this weekend, that would be the St. Paddy's Day treat that I would want to try. The green stuff, if you're wondering why it's any different than the gray stuff, is mint white chocolate mousse, chocolate cake, mint chocolate chips, and chocolate cookie crumbs on a shortbread cookie. Doesn't that sound yummy?
I guess.
Your qualm with the gray stuff currently is...
I just want the gray stuff.
The raspberry that's in the middle.
I just want the gray stuff. I don't want all the accoutrements. Mm-hmm. I just need
but
the gray stuff.
But it's okay if it's on a cookie, because then you're not looking off the plate.
That's
fine. But yeah, so this...
Donut looks cute. Mm, the Mickey...
They're very cute, yes.
Donut thing looks cute. The cupcake looks cute. There's some macarons and some ice cream and stuff. A churro. What is this churro? A California churro is a shamrock churro. Churro rolled in cookies and cream crumbs, drizzled with green mint icing and sprinkled with gold and green edible glitter. Well, that last term just turned it off to me because I hate glitter.
Ooh,
I'm like super allergic to glitter.
Salt and Straw has Pots of Golden Rainbows, which is hand-sorted rainbow marshmallows tossed into cereal milk ice cream.
Ooh.
So it's like Lucky Charms, but more sugar.
Well, there you go. Because that's
frozen.
What you need is more sugar.
Oh, yes.
Sunday, April 9th is Easter, and that can mean only one thing. Handmade chocolate fudge Easter eggs are back. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday until Easter, guests can pick up an egg for $12.99 at the Candy Palace. If you don't want that much sugar, you can just watch the cast members make them in the window of the Candy Palace. No word on the flavors for this year just yet, but it sounds like there's going to be a rotation of flavors.
Yeah, so the interesting thing with the Easter eggs in comparison to like the candy canes is the Easter eggs, they don't really release a schedule and it's different flavors. It's not so like the candy canes are the candy canes are the candy canes. It's not like, well, today it's chocolate candy cane. You know what I mean? It's the same.
Yeah.
Whereas this, there's been like a strawberry, like fruit type one for sure. The peanut butter one is the most popular one and the one that people talk about, but there's other like fudgy fillings that they've got too. So they look good. They're not the most beautiful thing. They're not very smooth and like picture perfect, but they look delicious.
I feel like they do that on purpose, though. I don't know.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, I'm sure.
I would love to try one of these for the sake of trying something, but I don't. It's a lot. They're big.
You share one. I think
they're a good value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say so. Well, Minnie has once again returned to welcome guests to Disneyland. The Mickey floral has been replaced by the Minnie floral for International Women's Day, which was on March 8th. We expect Minnie to stay in place for at least a few weeks, I guess, through the end of the month.
Yeah.
If not longer.
Because isn't March also like women's something month? Yeah.
It is.
I'm glad that this came back. I'm glad that this will probably, it sounds like it's going to start being a tradition to change out the floral. This is the second year that they've done that, and I think it's really great.
I think it's so cute, too. And really, Minnie's bow is such a great pop of spring colors as well. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we talk about synergy between Disney brands that used to happen a lot in the parks, and there is some that have come back recently. Now through April 30th at Disneyland and Walt Disney World, a special Hulu-inspired Coca-Cola Freestyle flavor will be available. The new flavor is called Hulu Fanta Surprise. It helps to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the streaming service. I'm intrigued.
Yes, me too. And I was going to say, I feel like a crazy person because I would try this. I 100% would try this. So according to the description, it's a green drink that combines sweet lime and ginger.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yum. I would definitely try this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it looks interesting. I do like Fanta.
Mm-hmm.
I like orange Fanta specifically, but I think it'd be kind of interesting. It's going to be at the Freestyle machines only, so you can get that at like PIM Test Kitchen.
Yeah, PIM.
Where in Disneyland has a Freestyle machine?
I think does Rancho have a Freestyle, or do they? No, they just have fountains.
Yeah. The one at Adventures Campus, which is at the PIM Test Kitchen. There's one, it just says Disneyland Resort. That's not very helpful.
I bet you that's the
Disney
one.
Smoke Jumpers, mm-hmm. which you were talking about. There's one at the Grand California at the Craftsman Grill. And apparently that's it. And then there's one over at the Disneyland Hotel at the Tongariro Terrace. And there's one at the Disneyland, somewhere at the Disneyland Hotel. And then there's one across the street over at the Pizza Press.
But so, they won't have the Hulu drink at the Pizza Press.
So I wonder where this one that just says Disneyland Resort is. Probably, it looks like it's somewhere on Main Street, perhaps. I feel like I'm missing one.
Anyways, if you get to try it, we would love to hear your review, because
definitely
I'm real intrigued by this one. It sounds tasty. I'm sad that like they're not bottling it.
Yeah.
Or they don't have it at Freestyle machines so that I can like try everywhere. It from home.
Sure.
Yep. Well, we talked about Adventureland Day last week, but our past guest, Freddie Martin, better known as Skipper Freddie, has posted a wonderful article on this year's event and what it all entails. To read all about it, check out the link in our show notes. And there's tons of photos, too.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see who is in the foreground of that photo?
The
cosplay parents.
Cosplay parents, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. There's tons of photos here with
Freddie's
a bunch of
different
people.
Photo. You see him? There he is back there.
Yep. Yeah, so there was Freddie.
And then Alex from Backside of Water.
He's in one of the photos.
Yes, was involved in this event as well. But yeah, super fun. But just a really, really nice article that explains, you know, what the day entails and what some of the fun things were that everybody got to see and do and experience together. But there was like a sing-along in the Tiki Room, multiple trips around the Jungle Cruise, of course.
The cosplay parents came dressed as members of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers.
Yeah.
I love the cosplay parents, by the way. They're amazing. That guy looks like Harrison Ford.
Wouldn't that have been funny?
He just shows up. Nobody knows any better, and it's just Harrison Ford. Doesn't that look like Harrison Ford?
You look spot on to Harrison Ford.
He's like, well, thank you.
I get that a lot. Yeah. That'd be so fun. And then on a bit of a, you know, sadder, heavier note, it is with great sorrow that we have to report that one of the legendary Disney legend Imagineers, Raleigh Crump, did pass away this past week. Raleigh was, I believe, 93 years old. You know, he's one of those Imagineers that maybe if you're not a big Disney fan, you may not know who he is or haven't heard of him before, but he touched so many different things that are still part of the resort today. I cannot get that special out of my head. What was that? It was the special where Walt was walking around talking to all the Imagineers and they were designing stuff for the World's Fair.
The 10th anniversary.
That was it, the 10th anniversary special. They did a lot of time with Raleigh, and he's kind of showing off different things that he was working on at that point. But he did, just so many different things. We will be doing a deep dive to kind of look more at his amazing career with the company and his life. So stay tuned. We don't have a date set for that, but he is definitely on the list of amazing Imagineers that we need to learn more about and share their story.
By the way, if you've seen him in any interviews of anything, he has a sense of humor that was great. And kind of just like a, what's the word that I'm looking for here? It's kind of like a
whimsical.
Yeah. But I'm saying like his sense of humor is kind of like, I'm trying to think of the word, like
dry?
No.
I don't know what you're looking for.
I don't know what I'm looking for either. There's a word. But man, I've never seen this photo before. What is the mustache and goatee thing he's got going on?
Style, man. It is style. But yeah, the Tiki Room, that's another big one that a lot of people don't realize. He taught himself to sculpt. He wanted to make, so basically the Tiki Gardens in front of the Tiki Room, all of the different gods there, Raleigh, who had no experience, had to teach himself how to sculpt. And he created those characters, and so it's just amazing.
And then he did the, for the World's Fair, he did the wind kind of sculpture
thing that was out front, which
is amazing. I don't know, he just he's such an interesting guy. Like we didn't talk about him for some reason like a ton in general, because we talk about things like, we talk about Marty Sklar, we talk about you know, people like that, and we don't really talk about Raleigh that much.
So many amazing people at that time that just had so many different things that they put, you know, that they did and put in. So yeah, 100%, we're gonna at some point do a deep dive on Raleigh. His book, It's Kind of a Cute Story, is like one of the top things on my list right now. I have so many Disney books that I have on my virtual list, as well as like my stack physical list.
Are you taking books with you?
I am taking books with me on my cruise. I am, because there are just so many amazing books out there, and then there's just more and more and more. Yes, that's the other thing too. He was in Behind the Attraction.
Yeah. You're gonna laugh at me. So I was packing to leave to go to a wedding this weekend, and I moved a pile of clothes that was kind of sitting next to my bed, and I was like, oh, here's two Disney books that I need to read. It's the Imagineering Story book.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Walt's Disneyland, which I had started to read and really enjoyed. but I had put stuff on top and forgotten about it. And now I'm like, oh man, I got to get back to these books. So maybe when I am going on my Europe trip, I will take this and get lots of reading done on the plane or something, because that needs to be done.
One of these days, I want to just spend a lot of time on Main Street and really like take in all of the different windows and like really pay attention to all the fun and history and amazing names that are on display and kind of memorialized.
You know what we need to do? You're going to tell me we probably already did this way back in the podcast history, because I think we did. But I'd really like to go land by land again and talk about things, because we did that forever ago before Galaxy's Edge and stuff.
We did.
So I think it'd be really cool to talk about some things on Main Street, like if we did a Main Street episode, like the windows, because we can get a list and all of that. Mm-hmm. So that could be really cool. Because we did that like way back.
That was a long.
That was first 50 episodes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want us to do that, let us know. Feedback at dlweekly.net.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a grand circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. With stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All Weekly Tiers Board.
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. You made it. Hi, how are you?
Depends on the questions.
After last week, I figured you needed a little bit of reprieve.
Maybe.
So that and so much more.
Yeah, so maybe I think I'm going a little easier on you. But only time will tell, right?
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so my...
Just that open July 17, 1955. Bing, point. Okay, next.
Ooh, so close.
Walt Disney was the one who created it. Bing, point, next.
Oh, boy.
Actually, Jingles was the second answer I was looking for.
Oh!
Jingles created Disneyland.
We all know the truth.
Stunning turn of events. Walt Disney got the idea from Jingles.
The ultimate trivia question. All right.
Oh, Lord.
Let's get on to the real questions. Question number one. What replaced Adventures Through Inner Space?
Ooh.
And you can have some bonus bragging rights if you can tell me what attraction that Adventures Through Inner Space replaced.
Oh, boy. Oh, it was... No. So, Star Tours is the answer
Star
you're
Tours.
Looking for. I'm trying to think what Adventures Through Inner Space... it was a walk-through
It wasn't Mission to Mars
or
Mission to the Moon. That was where the Pizza Planet is. It's,
It was not the Monsanto House of the Future.
No, but it was Monsanto. Wasn't it Monsanto something?
I thought it was, too, but I don't remember what it was called.
It was the Monsanto Hall of Science or something like that?
Ooh, that might be right.
Yeah, it was something
like
that.
It was like a walkthrough thing.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Walkthrough and more educational. It was not the Bathroom of the Future.
It was Monsanto's Hall of, I think, Science.
Bathroom of the Future. What a missed opportunity.
Well, the House of the Future had a bathroom. Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. But I'm just saying, standalone attraction. Missed opportunity.
Hall of Science, yeah.
Hall of Science, okay.
All right, moving on. Our second question. Where in Star Tours the adventures continue, can guests see a nod to Adventures Through Inner Space?
Oh, the adventures continue.
Oh, in
That's
the queue.
Is it?
Yeah, because Rex is in the queue.
Is Rex part of that? I thought Rex was also repurposed from the what was the
Rex,
thing?
Rex was created to Rex was the pilot for the original Star Tours, and then they replaced Rex with C-3PO.
Okay.
To be clear, I'm looking for a nod to Adventures Through Inner Space, not the original Star Tours.
Yeah. Because I was gonna say, because I was thinking about the robot that's in the queue. That is right when you go to get your glasses, and he was the body of one of the bird things. Yeah, from
that was America Sings.
America Sings, thank you. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yep. So we've got two nods to attractions that are not the correct attraction.
So many great nods.
James, I thought that in the original Star Tours, there was a nod to Adventures Through Inner Space, because in the space thing, wasn't there like a snowflake that went along with, because you basically went into a snowflake in the thing. I thought there was a snowflake floating off in the distance.
Maybe. I'd
but that's not what you're looking for.
No, I'm looking for...
In the adventures continue.
The adventures continue.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a tough one.
I'm sure it's not the song.
I thought he was going easy on us this week, Teresa.
I had to give you at least one top one. So, number three, the attraction designed to simulate human shrinking to a smaller size than an atom, again, clarifying Adventures Through Inner Space, has patrons walk through one end of the Monsanto Mighty Microscope before boarding what vehicles?
The Atommobile.
Good job, Tag. Atommobile.
Teresa, was that a confident one, or are you hooking on to his Atommobile?
Well, I started, and he's like, Atommobile.
I think that was actually the first use of the Omnimover system.
That was the first, yes, that was the pre-Doom buggy.
Yeah. Which is funny, because I feel like a lot of people think that it's the Haunted Mansion was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Question number four. What does a candied apple have to do with the attraction?
Oh, it's how they described how the Omnimover was going to move.
Yes.
Because he had it on the stick and was like saying it should move like this able to turn the guests.
Yeah, Did they have, okay, maybe they weren't true candied apples, but like they didn't have it in the model.
I don't think so. I think it was just they were trying
to
figure out. I think they were trying to figure out how to do it, and he was eating a candy apple and was like, wait a minute. Because it seems like that type of stuff happens all the time.
Omnimover.
Yeah.
And if that's right, what a perfect happenstance of you starting to talk about the Omnimover and then talk about the candied apple that inspired the Omnimover. What do you listeners at home think? Are they on the right track? Did they earn bragging rights early on? Well, we'll have to wait until after our discussion topic to find out.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we are continuing our talk with Dawn from the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet. Enjoy. Is there a highlight from all the years that you've done the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet? Is there a certain story you have, or an event, or a speaker, or a story you heard, or anything that's kind of up there? I won't say the best, because I don't want to put you on the spot to try to pick the best of something.
Like a core memory.
Yeah, but is there a specific thing that kind of sticks out to you, or some one of a collection of things that you think of when you reflect on all the Mouse Meets you've done?
Gosh, that is just... such a question.
We got time. You could tell a few stories.
There's so many stories, and I'm so fortunate to do what I do as the host of this event and the producer. And, you know, I've just met so many incredible people. You listed some of them, Tony Baxter and Bob Gurr and Marty Sklar and Kevin Rafferty and, Bill Rogers, the voice of Disneyland, and on and on. And I'm fortunate in that I get to know these people, and some of them I build relationships with and we have friendships. Like I was just in LA last week and saw Bill and Cammie for dinner, and we're good friends, and they're mentors for me because I'm a voice actor as well. Oh. And so they've been mentoring me on that. And, meeting and having someone like Marty Sklar, a Disney legend, and he passed a few years ago, and I was so sad, such a close connection to Walt Disney, but he came up three different times because he loves Disney fans so much and he knows how important they are. And he was so instrumental in so many things within Disney. And I mean, he wrote speeches for Walt Disney, right? Yeah. He's head of Imagineering for 35 years, et cetera. And this guy spent time with me, and he would call me the night before a mouse meet and just say, hey, break a leg tomorrow. Have a great day. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe this. And you know, these people are in my house, and Marty's book, he wrote a page on the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet, and the salmon I make every year for my, it's a special recipe salmon, Pacific Northwest salmon for all my guest speakers. And he wrote about it in his book. I mean, and just the memories that I get to share with these people, I could tell you 100 different stories. But one of the best things is my team. I have a group, Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet team members that have been with me for a number of years, and they dedicate a lot of time to this, just like I do. And they are spectacular. And I share this journey with them in producing magical moments for all these Disney fans that attend our events. And I couldn't do this without them. And they, each one of them, is extremely special and a very, very close friend of mine. Because in part because we're friends, but in part because of what we do together to create this magic for so many people each year. And so these people mean the world to me, and the experiences I have with these guest speakers and things means the world to me as well. And it's just overall, just being the producer and the host is just incredible to be able to do this. just every little minute experience I get to do with it is special. I don't know if that answers your question very well, because I didn't really go into detail on anything, but
that's
overall,
okay.
No, it does. It just sounds like you have just a plethora of kind of like pinch me moments and kind of like,
absolutely.
Wow, this is happening. This is real. I'm here. I'm doing this, and I get to experience this and share this with all of these other Disney fans and bring them, you know, bring magic to them instead of usually we have to go to the magic. So that's really incredible. Kind of along that lines. Probably it may be another difficult question, but can you share with us if you could have anybody come and be a guest for the Mouse Meet? We'll say they could be living or they could already be passed. Who would you want to come to the Mouse Meet? Oh, 100%. Yeah. Okay.
Teresa, I already know the answer.
As soon as I said living or not.
Yeah. As soon as you said not.
Could you imagine? Yeah. That would, yeah.
You know, really every year it's different because, right before COVID, 2019, I had Joe Rohde, and I wanted to get him for years. And it was very difficult. Disney wouldn't let me talk to him. And then, through some recommendations from others, some phone calls, it ended up happening. And so, like, Joe Rohde is like the pinnacle, right? Marty Sklar was a pinnacle before that, and on. And so every year it's a little different. So it's a hard question to answer because it changes too, right?
Sure.
So we're just honored to be able to bring anyone up each year because they're always one thing I've found is these folks that work at Disney in animation or Imagineering or being the voice of, say, Mickey Mouse. It's such an honor to them. And it is so important to them to be respectful to the character or to the park or the ride or attraction. Or the film and the stories that come out of what they have to say, each and every one of them has been spectacular. Ron Clements was here and he told some stories about when he made Aladdin and working with Robin Williams. And, you know, Robin Williams is gone, but they showed some video clips and the whole audience was in tears because of the stories and the emotion, the connection. And last year, Brett Iwan, the voice of Mickey Mouse currently, he told some personal stories that got people emotional and motivated. And so I have great confidence that anyone that works for Disney that I bring up will have tremendous stories and share something and give a piece of something, emotion to our guests attending that they'll take away and remember for a long time.
That's amazing. I totally think that one of the coolest things about the Disney community and people that are Imagineers or animators or whatever, I totally agree that there's such a level of gratitude. One of the things that Teresa and I, the first, not a Pacific Northwest event, another event that was in Anaheim.
What?
I will be nice and everybody who listens to the podcast will know what I'm talking about, but I'll be nice and not talk about them directly. Fine. But Terry Harden was there and Teresa and I were taken aback by she was there. She was getting an award. And she, after she spoke and we all sat down to have dinner, she did not eat dinner. She let her food sit and get cold while she went to every table and thanked every single person who came. And Teresa and I think we're both just so surprised that somebody who we hold in such high esteem is not acting like some people that, you know, are in high esteem to some people that they are better. But she understood that it was such an honor to have these fans here. And she, it meant so much to her that we came to see her get this award, even though for us, it was like, this is amazing. This is an Imagineer that we're meeting. And so I think you're totally right. Cause it sounds to me like that's how most of these folks are they love the fan community. And the fact that you can bring that, you know, two more people, especially that are not in the Anaheim area, I think is really amazing. And it's good to hear from other events that they are like this as well.
Yeah, I know the event you're talking about and they're great. They put on a lot of great stuff. And that's one of the ones I used to go down to try and travel to see speakers. And Terry Harden is fantastic. And I spent some time with her. I was at an auction and won a sculpture that she did of the undead parrot in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And part of winning that was to spend a few hours with her in Disneyland. And we went on Pirates of the Caribbean together and she explained some things she did in there and some walkways that she walked on and the detail behind some of the scenes. And to hear it from an Imagineer's perspective was pretty cool. She's a really amazing person, very creative, really impressive.
Okay, you just put a new bucket list item on my bucket list that probably never happened. Riding an attraction with an Imagineer. That's a new level.
Can you imagine riding like Indiana Jones with Tony Baxter?
Oh my goodness.
Thunder Mountain with Tony. Like, how cool.
It doesn't even have to be their attraction. I just think riding any, because they're, you know what I mean?
I was like, gonna say Kevin Rafferty, you could ride, well, you could do anything in cars. I just walk around Cars Land with Kevin Rafferty.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Fun. Yeah. Terry Harden, we've had her on the show and we've gone to a couple. So we met her at that event and then she was on the show after. Mm-hmm. And then we've gone to a couple kind of meetup things that she's put on when we happen to be in the area since. And yeah, she's so down to earth. It was a really great first Imagineer in person experience because she was there with Bob Gurr, and Bob Gurr is like royalty, right?
If I could have just an ounce of his energy, I would be happy.
Hey, if I'm that healthy and that energetic at his age, gosh, I will think I'll be so appreciative
and sharp. He is still just it's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, the funny story real quick is when we first saw him, he was in this mobility scooter, and I turned to Teresa and I'm like, is Bob, like, I thought Bob Gurr was really spry and like wandered around. No, he's just trying to develop a new scooter for this company. So he's trying to like, eat, you know, trying to see what it's like to be in a scooter to get. And I was like, wow. So the beginning of his talk at that event was talking about what he was doing with this scooter. And it wasn't even Disney directly related. And we were so captivated by his process.
Yeah. So funny. You know, Bob is genius. You know, he developed a roller coaster in the Matterhorn. He had to learn how to do that, all the technical and mathematical stuff. And he did that on the fly. You know, Walt asked him to do that and he figured it out. Absolutely amazing. But I took him to the up here. Boeing has a big airplane plant here, right? And so I took him over to the Boeing tour and we got a private VIP tour and they took us around in a golf cart. And then they took us over to where the brand new 787s were sitting. There's a line of them. And some engineers met us there. And I don't know if you know, but Bob used to be a pilot and he used to own an airplane and he researches like there's no tomorrow. And so we're talking to these Boeing engineers and Bob is telling them things that they didn't know about the 787.
Wow.
It's incredible. And they're like, whoa, wait, who is this guy? Like, I mean, his knowledge and his memory is just so incredible, whether it's Disney or anything else, Boeing planes, of all things, race cars. He's all about cars. So pretty cool.
And that's the sad that's thing, too, because he shared with us the story of that one of the reasons he wasn't working with Disney as much is he didn't have a degree or something, or he wasn't an engineer, so he couldn't sign off on things, even though he knew it better. And so it's kind of sad. I mean, I understand why those rules or stuff exist, but at the same time, it's kind of sad when you have somebody who literally can tell Boeing engineers about their planes.
Agreed.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Super cool. So when is the, I mean, I know because I went and visited the website, but for those fans listening that are now super interested and want to learn more about your event, when is the next event and where can they find out more for it?
Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. this year's event is going to take place the weekend of July 29 this summer. And this is really good timing that we're talking because ticket pre-sales go on sale this coming week. We have some big announcements, and then tickets to the general public will go on sale March 18th. And you can find us at www.pnwmousemeat.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and we have an email newsletter that you can sign up for on our website, as well as the YouTube link you mentioned. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, we'll put links to all this in the show notes as well, but sometimes people don't go look at the show notes, so it's good to talk about it on the show.
Do you have any advice or any kind of words that you'd like to tell people that, you know, maybe this is sounding really awesome to them and they're interested in going, you know, any words of wisdom, advice, that sort of thing for first-time mouse meeters?
First-timers. We love first-timers. Have you ever gone to Disneyland with someone who's never gone before?
Yes.
That's the best, right? It's so fun. And we love first-timers at our event so much that we have a big yellow first-timer button that they can wear because so we want to help them, you know, find their way around the event space, as well as our guest speakers or sponsors or vendors. We want them to know that it's their first time there as well. And for other Disney fans, they love welcoming first timers as well and getting them integrated, showing them the ropes and getting to know them. You know, they find out what they like or what they're into, pin trading or parks or whatever. And so big aspect of about 30% of our guests are new every year. So that's a lot of fun.
Wow, yeah.
And it's just you, if they decide to come, it is just a day of magic and fun, and we make it theatrical, and the stories you'll hear from our guest speakers are going to be second to none. And you get to meet them if you want, get an autograph, get something signed, get a picture with them. It's so much fun, and you'll meet new friends, you'll have a fantastic time, and you'll hopefully want to come back the next year. We hear that, we get emails about that every year, which is such an honor. It's so humbling and amazing that people would, you know, be so excited to want to come back immediately. So give us a try. Come on out. But tickets now, will go fast once they're on sale. So
I have,
you say it's limited to 500, right?
Yes, correct.
So here's a fun question for you. And I don't know if you know the answer, but I'm sure that you have at least an idea maybe. So I know you're the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet, but of the people that have come, where's the person, as far as you know, that was from the furthest away?
A guest that attended, you mean?
Yeah.
West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, West Virginia. We've had Utah, Minnesota.
Our neck of the woods. Yay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Montana, Arizona, California, Texas. So, but yeah, West Virginia would be the furthest away. Actually, I take that back. 1 year, probably 5 years ago, we had someone come from Japan.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Wow.
I was almost expecting you to say like Australia, because there's something, it seems like there's a lot of tourists from Australia that like Disney things, and they like Disneyland and that kind of area. So I wouldn't have been shocked if you said Australia.
Yeah, we do have a lot of followers from Australia, but no one's attended yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
You're still looking for the first one.
A listener right here.
Can you say again what dates are the pre-sales and the tickets and all that stuff again?
I cannot repeat that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You need to rewind and re-listen.
I know.
The event takes place the weekend of July 29th this summer. And then pre-sale's happening later this week. And what pre-sale is for people who attended previous years. They'll get an email link to tickets first, and then it'll go to social media and our email newsletter. People who follow us there, that'll be another pre-sale wave, and then general public tickets will go on sale March 18th.
I just want to make sure that we get this posted in our show before the 18th.
Oh, right.
Because I want to make sure that people have an opportunity, if they hear it, that they don't hear about it and then go to buy it and it's all sold out.
Got it.
So I kind of want to backtrack with the question, Don. I know, you know, an event like this, you can't even probably count the number of hours and stuff. But can you kind of give us a little sneak peek or a little taste behind the scenes as to what it is to put on an event of this size? Yes, of course, there's the fun things like getting to contact folks like Bob Gurr and ask them to be a part of the event. But what else kind of goes into creating this?
43,822 hours.
A month. Not that you've counted.
obviously a labor of love. There's a lot of work year round. I mentioned my amazing team earlier, and we get together every month or so and plan and talk. And we're always talking on our private Facebook group or an email or a Zoom call. And just trying to make sure that we're planning along the way. And I was just at a meeting earlier today with my tech guy to work on some lighting and some other things. And so it's always throughout the year. And then we'll, like this time of year, we'll start ramping up and building a couple of photo ops. We'll start working on details for the theming or different things that happen. And we're always working on getting items for our charity raffle baskets and things like that. So there's just so many moving parts, and all of our team does different things. And then I handle, you know, the big stuff. And it's just so much fun throughout the year, because we know it's leading up to that weekend and it's going to be so fun. And we're going to send people home with so many amazing memories. And so it's so amazing for us to do each year. And we're just excited, invigorated, and thrilled to be able to do this again, especially after we had to take 2 years off.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the big mouse meet, like there's the one big event every year. Do you mm-hmm. have smaller meetups or anything like that people get together? Maybe not with Imagineers and everything, but to kind of get together and just enjoy Disney together?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great question. So before COVID, we used to do a lot more. We had a lot going on. I did smaller events where I'd bring up authors, Dave Bossert and different authors to smaller events where it'd hold maybe 100, 150 guests in a smaller theater here in the area. And then I also have done events at the Walt Disney Family Museum. I've done events, meetups at Disneyland during D23 Expo. I've done a couple different cruises, Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet event cruises, where we had, you know, 50 to 100 people go with us on a cruise. But that all kind of came to a halt during that time, which was really too bad. And we're starting to try and get back into that and do that, start to set those things up again. But we wanted to get our main event up and running again before we delved into those other things. But yeah, we've done so many things. We did a couple of history tours through Disneyland. I don't know if we could do that anymore because they've gotten so tight on things. Mm. But we had a lot of fun with that.
That would be a cool event.
That sounds really fun. Yeah. Back to the big event, the Mouse Meet. You said that there's like vendors and, you know, other things to do outside of just listening to the presenters. About how many different, you know, roughly, I'm sure you don't have, maybe you have exact numbers, but about how many different like booths and other things are kind of going on?
Yeah, excellent question. It depends every year. Everything's so spread out, you almost have to see it to understand sure. it. But there's probably 30 or 40 different booths off the top of my head of vendors, and they make things. They have very old things that they are reselling, paper goods, posters, collectibles. And it's just a variety of things, artists painting things and authors there with their books. And it's just such a variety of things and things to do. We have offered in the past to paint a cell, an animation cell. And we offer up the cell with an outline and you get to paint it and take it home and pin trading and lots of things. So there's just such a variety. It's just such a full day of things to do, activities, plus the guest speakers throughout the day.
You were just like selling me on this. The fact that,
when I'm in Europe, you're going to go amazing. To this, aren't you?
I'm going.
So, come on.
You know, Teresa, the train
set my
goes
calendar
there.
To remind myself when the tickets go on sale so I can be right there.
There you
this
go.
Sounds
there
amazing.
You go. We'd love to see you.
But I was going to kind of change gears and go back to the beginning. So you kind of got into Disney because of the history of it and, you know, your connection with what Walt was doing and all that. So what are some, this is kind of left field, but I'm curious, what are some of your favorite Disney books that have to do with the history of Walt? Or what are some of your favorite resources if folks are interested in learning more about Walt?
Oh, yeah. So things like the Nickel Tour, the Disneyland mm-hmm. Story, Michael Broghi's Railroad book is one of the best out there. Talks about Walt's Backyard Railroad. Great history, great stories within that book. Those are the ones I would recommend right out of the gate. Beautiful, beautiful books, lots of photography and lots of great detailed stories. Michael Broghi, his father was Roger Broghi, the very first Imagineer that worked for Walt, and he helped him build that Backyard Railroad. And so Michael got to ride that Backyard Railroad as a kid. And on Sunday, after everyone was gone and everyone had ridden the train all day, Walt would take Michael into his barn or into his house and make him an ice cream sundae. And they would have ice cream sundaes together. So he has all these great stories that he shares throughout the book, the personal stories with mm-hmm. Walt and his dad and his family and their family. So I highly recommend that book, The Railroading Story.
And that's cool because that's, you know, that's something different because we're so used to hearing about Walt as in the creative behind mm-hmm. Disney, the company and Disneyland, not so much Walt, you know, the father or Walt, the friend, you know, the friend of my dad kind of different thing. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And if you go to the Walt Disney Family Museum, that was obviously started by his daughter, Diane Disney Miller. Wow. And you see a lot more personal stories there of him as a family man and a father and how he was there, too. So. It's very special.
That museum is amazing.
It's okay. It is. It is absolutely amazing.
Man, even so that railroad book, I'm just looking it up here because like I love the railroad and I, you know, this sounds great. Man, it is out of print. So it is.
Of course it
pricey.
Is.
Pricey.
Yeah, you can find it on the secondary market, but it's not going to be cheap, but it's well worth it. It's such an amazing story.
It looks like it's going to be a great book. The cover looks amazing. I know you don't judge a book by its cover, but the cover looks really amazing.
Take my recommendation. It's spectacular.
There you go.
Maybe we need to buy it for the podcast library, Teresa.
Oh, yeah. The there podcast library.
There you go.
We could both use it.
Don, is there anything that we did not talk about that you would like to kind of bring up or address or talk about?
No, you guys asked some amazing questions. I had to really think fast on some of these.
You did really, really well.
The books you
did
one, you really well. Caught me off guard. I had to think fast.
I want to say, Teresa, that was an amazing question. You said it, and I was like, and he started answering it. I didn't want to like talk over him, and I was like, that is a wonderful question. Okay, so we've heard all about the event, and we've heard about some of your backstory and everything like that. So the final question we ask, if you could work at Disneyland, what would you do? Sky's the limit. Could include any job, even a made up one.
President of Disneyland.
What would your first order of business be?
Wow.
I guess that kind of depends on when you become president.
That's good. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's timing would be important because there's different aspects that need to be corrected at different times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, well, guess what, Don? Tomorrow you get to go and be president.
I think they're doing a good job of cleaning up some things and fixing things, correcting some challenges that they were dealing with guest experience. So I think they're on the right track. Absolutely. But, you know, to be the president of Disneyland and run the operation and walk around and see the cast members and see the guest faces every day, that would be pretty spectacular. One thing I've heard from several of our guest speakers, especially Imagineers, is, you know, everyone thinks that their job is creating pixie dust and these amazing attractions, but there's a lot of business behind it too, right? Budgets and getting cut, budget cutting and how to work things out. Maybe something didn't work right, so they got to figure out how to, and it can be overwhelming or very businesslike at some points. And for them to come up to my event or other events and hear guests interact with them and say, thank you for what you built and the thing, it re-energizes them. And many times they'll come away from my event and say, you know, hey, I was re-energized by that. And I'm back at work with a bounce in my step because I know what I'm here for. And I feel like that's what I would take to being president of Disneyland is understanding that, you know, hey, this is also fun, not just the business aspect. So that's what I'd try and incorporate into that.
Plus, Disneyland gets to be your office. I mean, how amazing is that?
Heck right? Yeah. Corn dogs every day.
There you go.
I will say recently, though, I will say between Ken Potrock and Josh DeMauro, it is nice to see that they have been in the park, especially at the beginning of COVID,
agreed,
of walking around and greeting the cast members and all of that stuff. In the time that I have followed stuff at Disneyland, I do not remember a lot of the administration of the park interacting so joyfully with the cast. And there's definitely still problems going on with cast, you know, pay and all of that kind of stuff. But at least they're trying to be out and with the people and not hiding somewhere.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Agreed. It's a business. It sounds like
that's what you would do.
Yeah, it's a business. It's a corporation. They have to answer to shareholders. But as long as they stick to their roots and remember what it's all about, they'll be just fine.
Exactly.
I got a bonus question for you since you're such a Waltophile.
Bonus. Oh my gosh.
This is kind of a trick question because I feel like people always ask what would Walt do and all this stuff. But what do you think? What is your personal opinion? What do you think Walt would think of Disneyland today?
Gosh, I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that. You know, I asked the same question off stage to people like Bob and Marty and they said their answer was, you know, no one knows what Walt would think.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, early on when after Walt passed, a lot of Imagineers, well, their approach was, what would Walt do? And how can we do it like Walt would have done it? And you just can't look back at that because you don't know. You just don't know. He was such a creative genius. And so you have to move forward in the best manner possible. I think what they're doing is spectacular. Some of the films that are coming out are very creative. Yeah, there's ups and downs. The attractions we talked about, Rise of the Resistance. I mean, what a spectacular, one of the best attractions I've ever been on in my life. And they're on the right track. Kevin Rafferty, he was the creator of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway in Disney World originally. And that is spectacular. They're on the right track. He would love what's out there, I think.
I just can't believe it took so long to have a Mickey Mouse attraction. It right? never dawned on me until they mentioned it. And I'm like, why isn't Mickey represented anywhere in the park?
Because it was big shoes to fill. That was a tall order.
That's
to
true.
Do that, and they. I mean, I think they. It's amazing. Again, I feel like a small child when I go in there because I know that it's that I'm not actually in a cartoon, but. Dang, they're really convincing.
Big yellow shoes to fill. Yeah, Kevin Rafferty took that on. It was his own original story that he wrote. And that was his last. I mean, he's retired now. That was his last kind of kiss goodbye to Imagineering. And what a gift to the Disney fans, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
It's definitely it's they've taken the dark ride. And they've like, this is like the modern version of a dark ride.
Yeah.
That it's not too like, how do I say this? I'm not trying to limit it or anything. It's not too flashy, you know, because that's kind of the point of the dark rides, right? Is that they're kind of simple and you get kind of a joy out of the simplicity. And I feel like Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway is very complex, but it feels simple. Mm-hmm. And where you go into like, Rise of the Resistance, and it feels very complex. You are on three different ride vehicles and different scenarios and stuff. And Mickey and Minnie is just kind of like, it's like a modern dark ride. And I really like it. I'm so glad that Disneyland got a copy of it because mm-hmm. Toontown needed something to revitalize it. And I think this is exactly what will do that because so many people for so long just, you know, kind of avoided Toontown. So I'm glad that I want all of Disneyland to shine.
You know, you made a very good point there. You know, you asked me earlier, what would Walt think today? And you take his dark ride from 1955 of Snow White or Pinocchio or Mr. Toad, and then you go fast forward to now with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Mm-hmm. I think he'd walk through that and take a ride on that and think, wow, this is fantastic. This is exactly what I hoped for.
I can't wait to go on it again. It's been too long.
Do it. Go.
Since we've gone. But yeah, I think we're planning a trip in a couple months. So that's one of the first things I want to do.
It's actually, just, don't go there. Good. Come to the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet.
I'll do both. Why not do
Teresa
both?
Teresa wants to do both. Teresa wants to do both. I think she would convince me to go, and it wouldn't take much to convince me to go the Mouse Meet. But I'm in Europe during that time, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean,
but
shucks.
I'll be checking out. Actually, the funny thing is it's the Mouse Meet's right around my birthday. So that would be like an extra special thing. But no, the beginning of July, I'll be in Disneyland Paris, which I've been to one other time. And I'm really looking forward to going there again. And they've also done, since last time I was there, they've done a lot of work to bring the standard of everything up there. And I'm really looking forward to that. Because when I was there in 2012, it was still partially owned by somebody else. And it wasn't 100% Disney, like I was hoping it would be. Yeah. But I think that they've really brought that up to another level, and I'm excited for that. So, but I can't do this Mouse Meet, but for next year, you do it always during the summer?
Yeah, it's usually in July.
See, there you go. Boom, done. Like, I don't teach in the summer, so we're good.
Awesome.
Well, Don, thank you so, so much for coming on and chatting with us today and telling us more about the Pacific Northwest Mouse Meet. We are both very excited, and I think it's just really incredible what you're doing and what you continue to do for the Disney community, specifically the Pacific Northwest Disney community.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be on with you both. Your show is fantastic. I love it. And I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you both for a little while.
Now, just to remind our guests, where can they find you online?
PNWMouseMeet.com.
Perfect. And of course, we'll have a link in the show notes for everyone.
Tickets go on sale soon, so make sure you're there. If you want to be one of the few folks, especially to our Pacific Northwest group of people that follow us, there are quite a few. It'd be really easy and in your own backyard. If you haven't Thanks gone so already, much. You may have already gone.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then you can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
Welcome back to Trivia Land. What a fun discussion. How are you two feeling now that we're back here?
I don't know.
Now that we've been unshrunk from our journey through inner space.
Good one. I should have thought of that, Teresa. I'm jealous. Let's get on with it and we can see how you two did. So our first question this week, what replaced Adventures Through Inner Space? And bonus bragging rights if you can tell me the attraction that was there before it. The correct answer is Star Tours, right on the money. And the attraction that it replaced Oh, you were so close that I'm going to give you the bragging rights. It's the Monsanto Hall of Chemistry.
Oh.
I didn't think science sounded quite right, but... Mm-mm.
Exactly like you described it. A hands-on museum-like attraction teaching guests about chemistry.
Chemistry.
So you could have drawn me a picture and you would have had it just right.
There we go.
That's why I say I think you've earned those bragging rights. Question number two was, where in Star Tours The Adventures Continue can guests see a nod to adventures through inner space? This one's tricky because it's not a physical prop. Today in Star Tours, guests can look for the mighty microscope as their star speeder exits a tunnel in the Death Star.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Small little nod to it right there.
I feel like, how is anybody ever going to see that?
That's the beauty of an Easter egg. Hidden in plain sight.
Sure.
Exactly. I mean, you got to know to look for it. Otherwise, it probably just looks like part of the Death Star.
Mm-hmm. So.
Our third question, the attraction, designed to simulate humans shrinking to the size smaller than an atom, has patrons walk through one end of the mighty microscope before boarding what vehicle? You knew this one right away, the Atomobile. Correct.
Woohoo!
And our last one, what do candied apples have to do with the attraction? Well, you were already there before I even asked. Picked up by Bob Gurr in a conversation with John Hench, the Imagineers, felt inspired to the Omnimover system, which was used for the first time in this attraction. Exactly like Teresa said, not the Doom Buggies.
Boom.
So you didn't do too bad.
You two knew your stuff this week.
Yeah.
You got the others right with flying colors.
Hoo-hoo.
Maybe you'll continue it next week and maybe
we don't get to say that very often.
No. But maybe next week, thanks to some listener questions, you'll have another good week. Or maybe a tough week.
Well, Teresa won't be here next week, but...
Good luck, Tig.
Oh, goodness.
The look he just, like, shot over at you, like, oh, no.
Yes, the power is mine.
We're
going to
take a trivia hiatus. Are you going to do trivia while we're in Europe?
Yeah.
Oh. So.
I can't really not. It's like... 6 weeks or seven episodes or something.
Well,
it's a lot. That's a lot of missing trivia.
it's like how could you go to the park without, in your case, like seeing Indiana Jones or Teresa getting coffee? It's just part of the experience.
Cold brew, James, not coffee. Cold brew.
Sorry.
Or a Dole Whip.
Yeah,
I didn't get a Dole Whip last trip though. Remember,
That's true.
They were closed early, and I was very sad about it.
We'll leave it up to you, and whatever you inspire from us, send us your trivia questions. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, Teg will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
I mean, it's a royal we. The podcast will be back next week. Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.